The 88th South Dakota legislative session concluded last Friday. Nearly 500 bills were introduced, and among the measures passed include a criminal justice reform bill, an economic development package, and the school sentinels bill that allows teachers to carry guns in schools. Join the program now to discuss the recently concluded 2013 session is Republican Tim Rave, Assistant Senate Majority Leader. Senator Rave, welcome back to Dakota Midday.
Hey, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Also with us is Democrat Jason Frerichs, Senate Minority Leader. Senator Frerichs, thanks for joining us.
Yep, great to be here, Carl. And hello, Tim.
Hey, Jace, how you doing?
Yep, good, good, thanks.
And you're welcome to join the conversation as well. For your comments on the session, questions as well, I'm on Twitter at CarlSDPB. You can also email us at midday@sdpb.org or give us a call at 800-524-3604. Well, the final work last week, the budget, Senator Rave, was it difficult coming up with that final budget last week?
Well, you know, Carl, I've been in the legislature now for 11 years, and I think some of the toughest times are when we have some extra money to spend. And even though most of this was what we call one-time money or unexpected receipts, you know, there's just so many good ideas and so many good ways to spend those dollars. It's almost more difficult than when the budget's tight and you just have very little to spend. So, at the end of the day, I'm very pleased with what occurred. It gets a little difficult.
Senator Frerichs, is that your take on things? Pretty difficult when you're working on the budget when there's a little bit of extra money?
Well, definitely. There's so many great ideas on what to do with the limited funds we do have, and I think it's interesting to hear the comparisons to what they even work with up in North Dakota, where they have, you know, three times the budget we do and obviously much more money to work with. They still have similar needs, and yes, as Senator Rave mentioned, there's still, you know, obviously many priorities, and it's just a matter of figuring out how to take care of things. And the nice part for us is that we are done in those 38 days and get back to our real jobs.
How much did the sequester cuts, concern over that, and also concern over another summer drought play in the budget, Senator Rave?
Well, I think as far as the sequester goes, we're taking more of a wait-and-see approach. What the information, and Senator Frerichs can certainly correct me if I'm wrong, as I recall, it was the impact in this fiscal year at most would be $2.5 million. We really felt like some of the programs that were impacted, we probably wouldn't replace, frankly. Some of them were grants that just wouldn't come. And if there was some, you know, shortfall less than that, we would just probably take that out of reserves and cover it. And I think next year, unless something drastic changes, we will just address next year, next session, when we get back in January and adjust the budget accordingly if necessary.
Senator Frerichs, is that your take as well?
Yeah, you know, I definitely appreciate our friends on the Republican side being realistic that, you know, sure, we rely on the feds to provide various funding, but what the effects to the sequestration to us is pretty minimal. And I'm glad that wasn't used as a ploy to not to look at our other needs. So I would have to say I was a little more relieved from that standpoint. But also, as far as the drought goes, you know, we definitely have to, you know, some issues to look at there, especially if this is a prolonged drought that is still plaguing most of western South Dakota and most of the southern part of our state as well. And so we're going to stop look at that. But as I still remind folks, if you look at our crop insurance revenue numbers that we guaranteed this year, they were set during the month of February. They're very similar to last year's guarantees. And if you talk to the producers, especially in the southeast part of the state, they were able to at least, you know, pay their bills and move on with business due to the crop insurance program they had last year. And they're going to see a very similar type of program this year. So it doesn't help from the livestock side, but at least it gives some reassurance from a stable revenue source in terms of our crop industry here in South Dakota.
Looking back over the session, been over for a couple of days now, like to get your thoughts on what you think the biggest accomplishments were. Senator Rave, let's start with you.
Well, I think, you know, you started off the program talking about the Criminal Justice Initiative, and gosh, it seems like that was years ago that we passed that, and you know, the governor brought that forward from the task force. I think that's going to be something that we don't see the impacts of immediately, but certainly long term, it's the ramifications, I think, are going to be will pay dividends for us both socially and economically, keeping folks out of prison and productive in society, and keep our prison costs down. So we're pretty excited about that. I don't think we even fully yet comprehend the impact of that. And probably the same could be said, and I suspect Senator Frakes will talk about also the economic development package that, you know, really we all worked on together, and I'm just really excited about that package. You know, Senator Brown kind of took the lead on that, just everybody came together as a group and just put together just, I think, a fantastic package. And I'll toss it over to Jason, and he can talk about it a little bit more.
Yeah, Senator Frakes.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. It seems like it was almost last session that we all approved and just definitely sung the praises of the Criminal Justice Initiative. And I certainly give credit to the governor and Chief Justice for being very forward-thinking and want to involve the various parties on that important topic, which, you know, again, as Senator Ray mentioned, you know, I think that the jury is still out, no pun intended, but we still have to make sure that our local governments, especially the counties, are, you know, adequately compensated for increased in personnel and anything else that may be a burden on those folks. But, you know, at least there's money put forth in this initiative. It wasn't just something put down on paper. And so there's some good things to come. Absolutely. You know, I've really enjoyed the chance to work, not only with Senator Rabe, but as he mentioned, Senator Brown, Senator Olson, and of course, Representative Lust as kind of the prime individuals, along with my counterpart, Representative Bernie Hunoff. And we, you know, really come to the table working with a palms-up attitude on that economic development initiative, which I'm most proud of the fact that it isn't solely about, you know, big businesses, whether bringing them into the state or expanding in South Dakota, but the components of the Building South Dakota Fund to involve infrastructure and housing and obviously local economic development. And yet the biggest portion of that is centered on education. And, you know, as Senator Rabel mentioned too on some of the scholarship program he worked on, but also, you know, what we worked into this initiative is career and technical education, which is my biggest priority in terms of making sure that our young people are prepared with the skills necessary to enter the workforce and obviously be a benefit to society and make sure that they can do their part to be back here in South Dakota. So it's been great. And I would just lastly even add to the list, something that does come to mind is the Athletic Commission. That was something that you take Senator Johnston from Sioux Falls and Representative Dean Shrimp from out there at Eagle Butte. You know, those two individuals from both parties came together to get that done, and obviously we still need the governor to follow through on his promise to appoint the members of that commission. But at least you know we can you know see some good things happening where it's not so much about the party, but it's obviously about good policy and people coming together.
We do have a comment from a listener, Scott, and he writes that he doesn't think the 2013 legislature deserves a pat on the back. He writes that lawmakers avoided making decisions on education funding and instead concentrated on emotional issues such as the Sentinel bill and the abortion bill extending the wait period. Also, is hookah smoke really smoke? Scott says that on these issues, lawmakers didn't listen to educators or the past majority of South Dakota voters or common sense. Senator Ray, what is your response to that?
Well, I mean, obviously everyone's entitled to their opinion. I think Senator Frakes just laid out some huge accomplishments that we just previously discussed, and we both came together and worked, you know, in a bipartisan manner, and I think we accomplished a lot. And, you know, his email didn't mention or tweet, I'm not sure I came in there, but the extra $6 million that went to education, 5.8 to K-12 and 200,000 to Votex above and beyond what the governor proposed, and that was $20 million, I believe is the right number. You know, and as far as the other issues, I mean, that's just part of the process. I mean, everyone's entitled to bring their ideas, and they get a fair hearing up or down. And of course, as Senator Frakes will probably agree, we don't agree on every issue. but that doesn't mean that, you know, they don't get a fair hearing. And, you know, I think just focus on the Sentinel bill just for a second. That really, I agree it wasn't popular, but I would argue that it didn't get a fair representation of the bill. I think the perception that was laid out, at least what I saw outside the Capitol, was, kind of this vision of teachers running around with six shooters on their hips. And, I've heard it called the gunslinger bill and some other really, frankly, almost ridiculous terms. This is a common sense approach that allows each district to make a choice and certainly doesn't involve, guns laying on kids' desks and teachers wearing them on their hips. And, that's not what it was. Certainly you don't have to look back very far, and we've had some serious issues with school security and you can say it was in Connecticut or whatever, but it's been as close as Minnesota. And so I think for every school to have the opportunity to look at that thoughtfully, and whether that's something that works in their district or not, that's totally up them to decide. So I know those get the headlines, but there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes that nobody even knows about. And there was some big accomplishments, I would argue, in this session. As far as a pat on the back, no, I don't think we deserve one, because we never do. That's our job. We're supposed to go out there and serve and do the business of the people and spend the money the best way we can. And I would argue we did that. So,
Senator Frerichs, we've been talking about the accomplishments of the legislature. I'm wondering from your perspective if there were certain disappointments, particularly coming from the minority party.
Sure. Well, first off, say it kind of add to what we have been talking about. I hope that the culture is slowly changing from the standpoint that, two-party government is good for South Dakota. And I think we saw that in, probably three of the main, at least the two main initiatives that we talked about earlier. And I hope that's a little bit of a roadmap for us, because as we look down the road here, even this summer and especially next session, we are at a crossroads as far as property taxpayers' involvement in the funding of our school systems, especially if you look at specifically agriculture and non-ag contributions to the school general fund levies, and that's been going to be a big issue. Certainly doesn't catch the press and the amount of glamour that the school Sentinel bill did achieve. But back to as far as the question, I would say disappointments. I think it's probably a little disappointing how obviously education has kind of been beat up. The folks that have been involved in that the last couple of years, not only with the cuts and then the teacher reform bill last year we had. So I guess I'm probably a little more disappointed that we didn't see our folks and friends, and they're not just Democrats, they're from both parties, but I'm probably a little disappointed that the educators didn't get a chance to feel a little more involved and active participants in this process. I think this summer and in the interim is a prime time, as I mentioned, on the property tax side of things, that they better engage and be involved, because we need them. It's not just teachers. It's not just administrators. It comes back to these school board members, because, face it, we passed a couple of, I've been supportive of it, but we passed a bill allowing more capital outlay, continuing that plan to allow capital outlay expenses for some general fund needs of the schools and those different flexibility things that are happening, but yet at the end of the day we still have in what we're looking at roughly 600 teaching positions in the last couple of years have been lost, and we have increased class sizes, and I would hope that many schools are not happy with that situation, and I hope that they feel that they are encouraged to be a part of the process. So my disappointment probably comes down from the standpoint that we probably didn't hear enough, but didn't have that participation from the education community.
Senator DeRave, any disappointments on that you see from your perspective?
Actually, I was fairly pleased with the session as a whole. I'm sure I could think back to some things that we probably didn't get enough feedback on, probably some, frankly, we had you know, too much, and I don't say that in a way like feedback's not good, but I think some of the what I consider smaller issues got, you know, we just got a lot of feedback on them, and some of the bigger stuff we didn't hear about as much. And so, you know, overall, I was pleased the way that we were able to take the 30-ish million dollars, give or take, of one-time dollars, and, you know, I thought we divvied them out pretty appropriately. We took care of giving education another 1%. We got took care of our health care providers, and that would be our, you know, our community health providers, those folks on the front lines working in the nursing homes and assisted living centers and you know, the folks that are just doing the really hard work and trying to take care of those providers. So, no, you know, overall, I didn't have a whole lot of disappointments this session. I was pretty blessed to get a bill passed for scholarships for teachers in critical needs areas. And so personally, I had a pretty good session, frankly.
Medicaid expansion was one of the issues that came up this session. It was defeated in committee, but it looks like this issue is still under discussion. Is that right, Senator Rave?
Well, yeah, I mean, and it can be, and I think that was the whole point. You know, from the governor's perspective, he was kind of a wait-and-see approach, and I think really, Carl, to be honest with you, it played out about how we thought it might, especially with sequestration taking effect. And, you know, it's good, great for the feds to step up and say they're going to pay 100% of that, and that's the way it's going to be going forward. But, you know, I think we have to take that with maybe a grain of salt and say, well, okay, you're saying that now. What are you going to do when you can't pay the bill? And, you know, and that'd be great if we could cover these 48,000 folks that are kind of in this wedge group of, we'll call them working poor, that don't have coverage. You know, that's kind of a misnomer, too, that gets played, I think, the wrong way. Being in a position I am in healthcare, I know that those folks are getting care, and so it's more on the burden of the healthcare system taking those folks on and reimbursing them from the Medicaid perspective. And it's not so much that they're not getting health care, it's that they're not getting, you know, the health systems are not getting reimbursed for that care, or at least maybe a not appropriate manner is maybe not the right word, but a full pay manner, in which they wouldn't with Medicaid either. So it's a big topic, and I think we did the right thing in taking a let's just slow down, we can always jump in next year approach. If it's still there, if it looks like long term the feds are going to stick with their 100% commitment, and, you know, and reevaluate at that time.
So, Senator Frerichs, this is a Medicaid expansion. This will be something it can be part of these discussions over the summer, over the interim.
Yeah, most definitely, and I appreciate the fact that our Republican friends are at least willing to consider some options with the Medicaid expansion. I mean, it's there's still real people, and regardless of, you know, the rate of paying, at least it's better to have some type of payment from the feds as opposed to these, you know, hospital systems or whoever else having to shift it out of the counties for poor relief or some type of charity care. And I mean, you know, sure, we can look at some of the balance sheets and see that the big hospital systems are probably doing fairly well, but at the same time, we still have, you know, various independent and community providers out there that, you know, still rely on Medicaid, even though it may not be the best return for the services that they provide. I would say, and my analogy has been, and somebody can prove me wrong, and I have yet to have anybody say that that's not the case, but, you know, Carl, if this were federal highway money, we probably would have, you know, this last week of session, we probably would have found how we could, you know, drive out to D.C. and take care of things and make sure to bring our portion of the funding back home. But because it's attached to the Affordable Care Act, and it is paid for, I mean, it comes right through various, you know, premiums and on health insurance and other places that they've been able to find a way to pay for this. You know, we're missing out from South Dakota by not participating, and obviously we will have that gap in coverage and not have folks taken care of. But I do hope that it's taken serious over the summer, and I don't know what would stop the governor from, you know, looking at what other states, Arizona, North Dakota, have done to put some type of trigger mechanisms in place where You know, if it's going to cost $1 million or $2 million in administrative funds on the state side, you know, we keep a $20 million slush fund of Medicaid just based on any potential, spikes and increase in enrollments for that. So, I mean, we have some funds to work with, and obviously, as a legislative perspective, we have a chance to come back in and repay those expenses next year when we get back to session, or if we come in for a special session due to sequestration, who knows? But at least there's some options, and again, let's keep the dialogue moving.
Well, we're out of time for this discussion. Senator Frerichs, thanks so much for taking the time to join us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Carl and Tim. It's always fun, and go Jacks today.
All right, Senator.
You bet. Yep. You guys have a good day.
All right, thanks so much for your time, Senator. Republican Tim Rave of Baltic is Assistant Senate Majority Leader, and Democrat Jason Frerichs of Wilmot is Senate Minority Leader. You're listening to Dakota Midday.